This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go back to Doug Whaley here, who said that the Steelers are nailing the offseason. Jeff tipped us off to these comments yesterday. I'm usually in my car from 9 to 10 on Wednesdays. I must have missed that part, so I'm happy to rewind and go back to it here and discuss it. And Doug, this is GM, like, hat tip to another GM, like, hey, you're playing chess here. You're doing a great job. You're accumulating all these compensatory picks for 2026. You've got your eye on the prize here for the future of the Steelers. But he kept saying things like, besides quarterback. Okay, like...
other than... it's the... I'm not even going to say
it. It's the Mrs. Lincoln line, 100%.
It just is. It just is, man. I don't want to go to that well too often, but it's true.
The rest of the team is starting to look good, but you don't have the number one or most important position nailed down.
Not only do you not have it nailed down, you're, like, flailing. You don't even seem to have a plan in place.
I can't give anybody... like, I... nailing the offseason when you have no clue what's going on at quarterback? No, I can't do that. I can't say that. I can't.
It's like saying, basically, it's like saying, hey, I assigned you a book report, and the first paragraph of your book report, really good. The concluding paragraph, terrific. Everything in between is some of the most illegible, unreadable garbage I've ever seen. But you're doing a great job. You know, 90% of what you wrote here is Billy Madison level gibberish, but really, I've got the rest of it, man. Perfect.
What grade would you give the Steelers on their offseason move so far?
C-.
Okay.
C-.
Explain it.
Show your
work.
Average. I mean, I think it's I guess better than not that they got Metcalf, although I still hate giving up a second and not like a third or a fourth. Mike Florio thought he could be had for maybe a third or a fourth. The contract is nowhere near as prohibitive to them as, like, the numbers appear on their face when you look at what's actually guaranteed to Metcalf. So they did not assume, like, a massive amount of risk. I don't know if you, like, looked it up on SpotTrack or anything. It's just not a super – it's not, like, a super ultra guarantee. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's structured very similar to how Watts was or Minka's was. So I don't think in balance that's a bad move. But really bold play, Cotton, to say, yeah, getting a wide receiver is going to help us lure a quarterback when you haven't lured a quarterback yet. In every other – I don't mind the Kenneth Gainwell move. I still maintain that he's pretty redundant.
I like it, but we're talking about, like, man, if we're going to rank
down
the roster, it's like the 40th most important player on their team.
He's a third down back, and he did ball out against them, and I think he's a good football player, but he's kind of redundant with Warren. I still don't think – let me put it this way. Signing Kenneth Gainwell now that Harris is gone – does not make your running back room settled. You know what I mean? Like, most people would agree.
And I'm nervous they're going to take a running back in the first round.
No, again. I don't think they will, but most people I've seen, even like PFF folks who used to be very anti-running back anywhere near the top two rounds, are saying they better take one by about the fourth. So, like, with their third pick in the draft, one of the first three has to be a back unless they trade Pickens, let's say, and then suddenly their wide receiver room is thinner again. I don't really see moves here other than a very splashy deal for Metcalf in a trade, which I think they overpaid slightly to do. that make me think, like, oh, yeah, this team is on a really good track here. So I would give it a slightly below average grade. When we do these grades, just to be clear, I try to adhere to C as a legitimate average grade. And you probably would agree with me that most people, when you your kid brings home a C, you're like, what the hell? But I truly try to say C is average. Anything above C really is good.
Unless you're used to your kid being an F student, that's not
right.
A good thing.
But like, so, right, exactly. So I would give them a slightly below average grade for this offseason. I can't possibly go higher than that.
Donnie, do you feel like the Steelers are nailing the offseason?
No, I can't say that this is a nailing of the offseason. I do respect Doug for his opinion, but, I mean, beyond leaving out the quarterback thing, which I know he mentioned, they are doing something that we see the Pirates do a lot of. Beyond the trade for DK Metcalf, it has been mostly signing guys to one-year deals. Guys that are veterans, guys that don't play a ton. I mean, they're signing legitimate no-name defensive tackles that will be on this team because they're
total depth stuff,
Donnie. Yeah,
total,
I mean,
depth stuff.
You know, Gainwell can be a nice little player, but he's not going to be a game-changing player. Trying to think of what else they've done. And then they've just brought back some guys that probably still shouldn't be here. Thinking of Isaiah Loudermilk, James Pierre, guys who are battling with each other to see who
will
continue.
Special teams type of players.
Yeah, we didn't get into the big Pierre re-signing today.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing that
Donnie,
up, Donnie.
You know what they've done? I'll let you finish, but like, you just jogged something in my mind talking about like depth guys. The entire offseason has been almost without exception, other than Metcalf, obviously, and Gainwell to a slight extent. It reminds me of every player, regardless of their position, is in terms of potential impact, like Braden Faoko. You know what I mean?
But I can't say the entire offseason, though, because they brought Metcalf in.
I just said except
I know,
exempting
but
him.
But that's like Whaley saying except
quarterback. It's a little bit of other yeah, but he's also going to be as good as the guy throwing him the ball to an extent.
I could be wrong, but is the only guy that they've signed to a multi-year deal from the outside – Malik Harrison, the guy that replaced Landon Roberts, who he's not
who's
a better player than
he's
anyway.
He's a downgrade.
I didn't like that
he's
move.
He's a downgrade over E-Rob.
I didn't like that move.
And E-Rob wanted to stay here, it sounds like. E-Rob, think about what that says about them. Hold on. You have Fields saying earlier that we talked about, basically, like, I love the idea of playing for Aaron Glenn. It's an obvious shot at Tomlin. And then you've got Landon Roberts, who we all like, yes. I mean, when we have these guys who do shows, we think highly of them. But he also was an all-business thumper on the field. They didn't want him, and they signed an inferior player to more money.
So I know I just said they don't have the quarterback thing figured out, and that's why I can't agree with Doug that they've nailed their offseason. But here's why I don't think he's that far off. If they don't get Aaron Rodgers and they just go through the season, they end up playing this year with Mason Rudolph, a rookie, and some other schlub, and they've got all these comp picks coming, then they've actually done what a lot of us have wanted them to do, which is build a roster
that's ready for a rookie quarterback.
No, I was going to say build a roster that's like not really set up to win
this year. Well, I thought you meant you were talking about specifically their offense. Forget it. Yes, they're building a bad roster. Yes. And they could roll over cap space next year.
Right, like if they don't get Rodgers and they end up putting a quarterback out there that makes people think that they're not that serious or that like hell-bent on winning this year, that's progress to me. Now, their pursuit of Rodgers says they don't actually feel that way, so if they finish the job and actually get him, then of course I'm going to slam them.
Do you
for
think
the
that they're doing this almost I think, though, that what you're saying is what they've done accidentally, to be very clear, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but then can you really answer Doug's question with they've had a great offseason? No, because
that's why I said I don't agree with them yet, but I'm saying they're not that far away from that.
No, but even if they don't get Rodgers and then they get to the point where you're describing, hey, they've built a bad roster, I don't think you can give a team – it's just the same way when it goes right for a team. If, just to use an example, the Pirates had a 95-win team this year somehow, but they didn't do hardly anything in the offseason. Let's say Horwitz and those guys, like, don't help. Andrew Heaney doesn't help them. You'd say, wow, great result, bad process, right? Like, they essentially won in spite of themselves. If you're saying they've managed to do something we all want them to do, which would be build a pretty bad roster to get, like, a better draft spot next year, but they were trying to build a good one, can you really give them credit for that?
Steve.